If you have a couple things you know you need to do and like it's kind of scary, like you're nervous about it, those are the things you need to do.
Yes.
Like it is
Right.
not supposed to be easy. Like if you're nervous about this phone call, it's because you got to make that phone call, whether it's
Yes.
a private lender, a seller, a bank, whatever it is,
Yeah.
right? So it's like if you can get comfortable taking that uncomfortable action,
Yeah.
it's just a matter of time.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Norm podcast. Got a fun local guest here, Kyle Novak. We met probably a month or two ago, real estate meetup, local real estate meetup we started doing. Always great meeting local guys and didn't know each other, both in the same game of real estate. And so, wanted to have you on the podcast, hear about your story, what you're doing, and talk about how you got there. So why don't you just give us the rundown of kind of how long you've been in the game and what you got going now.
Cool. Yeah, thank you for having me. It always blows my mind how like big the world is. Like I go to tons of meetups and then who knows, you know, I meet someone like you that's very active in the game as well. So it's you got to get out there and network. But
agreed.
So yeah, my name's Kyle Novak. 29, been investing for about 6 years. Started when I was 23, bought my first duplex in Green, not too far from here, and house hacked it. Did that a few more times after that, and then I was on Bigger Pockets. That's really how I started. I build power lines for a living and was getting tired of that, so Googled how to quit my job. And found biggerpockets.com, and that's what got me into that. So that was like 2016. I started learning, did about a year of reading Bigger Pockets, and then just contacted a local agent and bought a duplex off the MLS with FHA financing, lived in it. And then 2018, I really started learning about the off-market stuff and direct-to-seller and raising capital and all through more networking. Found some meetups through Bigger Pockets and stuff, and kind of found a mentor that not officially took me under his wing, but so then bought some single families off market in Canton locally here and had a handyman fix them up and did a lot of things wrong, but just kind of fumbled through it and learned as I went. And then
and that was roughly 2018.
Yep, 2018. I bought like 6 to 8 rentals.
So those were rentals. You didn't flip those. You
I
kept
had,
them.
I did no flips.
Gotcha.
I just was so obsessed with this thing of passive income at first, right? Because
I
was like working 60, 70 hours a week, building power lines, and like it was a good job. I was young. I was still fine with it, but I just knew like I seen the guys that were 65 still doing it, and it's like.
Hunched
they
over.
Want out of here. You know what I mean? And it's like, why are they here? Most of the time it's money. So, or health insurance or something. So I just knew I did not want to build power lines for 40 years. So I was obsessed with the passive income thing. So rentals and then 2019-ish, I sold those through social media, met a local investor, had a couple hundred doors, and he made me an offer, and I put about $80,000 in my pocket, and I was 25, and I was like, I made it. Like, everything's great, you know? And
time
then,
to retire.
But that I learned that's all relative. It wasn't a lot of money. It went fast. Like, it, you know, I was smart with a decent amount of it. I invested a decent amount in crypto at the time.
Okay.
And I bought a motorcycle with like 10,000 of it, you know? And then I met my partner Rocco in 2020. I actually knew him before, but just like through mutual friends, and basically met him or reconnected with him because we were both fighting over the same deal. Gotcha. So a wholesaler sent us the same deal, went to the house to walk it, and I see him there, and I'm like, oh, hey, like, what are you doing here, you know? And obviously I knew we were both looking at the same deal, and so we leave there, and I'm talking to this wholesaler trying to lock up this deal, and I end up messaging Rocco, and I'm like, hey, like, did you offer on that deal? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what do you think we partner on this one instead of like bidding up the price? Let's try and knock the price down. So basically me and him end up being the only two interested, and we end up getting the price a little cheaper, teamed up on it. Found out me and him are direct opposites. He's very type A, detailed perfectionist, and I'm fast and sloppy and go, go, go type of mindset CEO, right? I'm the visionary type of salesy, and he's the integrator operation system. So we had a lot of growing pains on that first house, but it was supposed to be a rental, but we ended up putting too much money into it, ended up flipping it, made a little bit of money, and we're like, hey, let's continue this thing. So we became official partners in like March of 2020. And since then, we've bought we have 68 rentals now in the portfolio and flip about 20 a year.
It's awesome, man. It's a fast track for such a young guy.
I appreciate that. It's been work, though. I mean, it's my second job. It's not just...
Yeah, because you still have your primary job, right?
Yep, so I still build power lines for AP,
Yep. Okay. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Let's roll back to... I want a second. You had said the power of meetups and networking. Mm-hmm. Nothing bigger. I was the same way. I've been doing this, and I'm part of a mastermind that's not just local. There's some local folks in it, but more nationwide, people from all over. And I was going to that learning, and I'm like, there's got to be people, and Trevor, who we both know. Yep. We started talking. We're like, we should start getting a get together. You know, mm-hmm. I'd gone to some of the old country club style real estate meetups, and it just wasn't my thing. And so we started that, you know, like I said, we met there, and the power of going to that stuff to see and be able to, I mean, you've found a partnership, all the fruit that can come out of that. And I always tell people, it's not a competition. Like there might be a time we walk the same deal, but it's like, hey, let's partner. Or I wasn't super hot on this one anyway, and can I help you out on it or whatever? So it's, real estate is definitely not a, I mean, it's competitive, the market's competitive, but it's a lot of the times you're not fighting over the same deals.
No, it's taught me the world is a big place.
Yeah.
There's huge. A lot of houses out there. There's a lot of deals out there.
A lot
there,
of property.
It's like with my mastermind clients, they sometimes ask me like, what if we're fighting over the same deals? Like, you're a better investor, you know, you're more experienced, so like you're gonna get the deal. And it's like, I haven't even had that happen yet. I haven't even had a deal where my, you know, some of my group members are there fighting over it. Cause it's just, like you're saying.
So one thing I want to ask you, being 29, so I got a little over 10 years on you. At 23, when you started digging into the bigger pockets, which, another plug, so many people, I mean, bigger pockets, I don't think it's got a bad name, but it's just kind of like, everybody's got a lot of that same story of like, I started on bigger pockets, because I wonder how many people have Googled how to quit my job and landed on bigger pockets. But tons of value, tons of resources, and ton of it's free. It's a great place. Anybody starting in real estate, bigger pockets is a great place to your feet wet and just find the 101 of real estate investing, whether it's flipping, renting, whatever. So what takes a kid in their early 20s from like, all right, I'm working this job, probably making decent. You know, I know you said you saw some of the older guys there, but like, what do you think switched in your head mentally? Because a lot of kids, especially these days, as you see, and I'm not calling you a kid, but like, at that age, you know, when you get starting the workforce out of college or didn't go to college, they're just like, want to try and make money, not thinking future at all. It's just like, how do I get the next car or whatever it is? So what do you think switched in your mind?
I did go through that, but I think it was just earlier, because I started working, you know, when I was like 12, like I started working for my neighbor, taking care of her horses. So like, and all, I'm the youngest in my family by far. So like all of my cousins, I have one brother, he's 10 years older. So like, I've just always been around older people. I don't know if that just helped, but I did do the dumb decisions. I did buy a motorcycle. I did buy a car I couldn't afford when I was 20, but like, I just kind of got those mistakes out of the way.
Yeah.
And not that I still am perfect with money, but I think it just kind of helped me fast track it. And because I started building power lines at 18, like I was around adults.
Yeah.
Like this was their career.
Yeah.
So I kind of just had mentors in a non-official way all the time.
Yeah.
I was always just around older people. And but in terms of getting into real estate being the thing, just total luck of finding bigger pockets.
Yeah.
Just, they probably paid Google ads higher than anyone else to be at the top when I Googled that. So that's part of it. I think that's it.
Yeah. So along that journey of house hacking a house hacking another house, you know, kind of buying a handful, selling some off, and then getting back into it. What do you think, like, what are some nuggets or like for somebody getting into it? Because we didn't even get to your mastermind. Why don't you talk about some of that other stuff before we jump into that, like what you're doing with that?
So last year, one of my buddies, Danny Nicolino, who I met through Facebook, he actually kind of like wholesaled me a bottle of bourbon. That's how we met. His cousin won a bottle of bourbon through the Ohio Liquory, lottery.
Yep.
And his cousin didn't want to keep it, so he said, hey, I'll post on Facebook for you. And my father-in-law is like a bourbon connoisseur, so I reached out to him, and that's how I met my other business partner for the mastermind, Danny, through Facebook, through this bottle of bourbon. So we met at Town Tavern here locally and just had a conversation, realized we're both in real estate. And it's crazy because I met this person through Facebook. He became one of my best friends and now business partner. So it's just crazy how those opportunities can happen. Yeah. So long story short, when I met him, he had this mastermind group, and we became friends. He let me in kind of as like a mentor, kind of just help for free. It is a paid mastermind group. And then last year I came to him and I was like, hey, like, I see some opportunity here. You know, like, I think there's some bigger things we can do with this. Kind of told him my value add and said, hey, I want to buy equity in this. So we came up with a number. I paid him a certain amount and became a owner. And it's been a good year. It's been crazy, but we've tripled net profits in a year. Kind of took it from like a hobbyish type of thing to like really trying to take it serious and add value to the members. So it is mostly for newer people, right? Our average member probably has 5 to 10 rentals. Some brand new, and some we probably have like 10 members that are pretty serious, have 50 rentals, been in the game a little bit. So there's all across the board, but that's how I learned so much. That's also where I wanted to provide it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like the amount of testimonials we have of just like giving my member, my roofer, saved him thousands of dollars on his roof, right? Because he's just going off Google or whatever, you know?
So back to that networking.
Just connections and knowing people pay so much, especially in real estate.
I mean,
in life in general, but especially in real estate, it's hard to go very far in real estate by yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's it. No one realizes real estate's a team sport.
Yep.
It really is. Yep. I mean, you might be like, I have some partners, some LPs and some financial partners, but like, and I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without them.
Yep.
I don't have a business partner, you know, per se in some of the things, but they're business partners. My insurance guy's a business partner. My attorneys are business partners. Sure.
Yep.
We're not under the same company, but it's a team sport, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, you can't be the expert in insurance and tenant landlord law and all these things. You need to rely on these people who are the experts in it and you have a relationship with, and it's a mutual benefiting relationship and to allow you to focus on whatever your thing is.
Like
my business partner, his thing is organization and systems, and he just works like a horse. Like he just nonstop. And my thing is the sales, raising capital, relationships, networking, and I find all the deals. So
That's
allowed
great.
Us to just focus on our strengths.
Yeah. And now, do you guys use EOS? You talked about Visionary Integrator.
No, we don't, but I know what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a killer book for anybody that's listening that wants, maybe has a partnership. At my old W-2, we went through that and set it up. Like, I'm a visionary. And the integrator is kind of the details behind the scenes. The visionary is kind of the out front, you know, plowing the way. So
I know what book you're talking about. I can't think of the name, but one of the masterminds we went to and paid for was very heavy. Like, they followed the EOS.
Yeah.
So like, they made us pick like, okay, what do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we, it was
it's
very
usually
clear.
Pretty clear.
Yeah. It was pretty clear once you get a couple descriptions.
Yeah. Those aren't me. This is me.
Yeah. So. It's pretty clear differences.
So. Yeah. So in your group, I'm curious. So I'm not, I don't run a mastermind. I'm part of one, a bigger one. And that's, I think they're the greatest things to fast track your learning that you can get. I tell everybody that, like, and some people still look at you like, what's a mastermind? Like, is it just, you know, some coach trying to take your money or this and that? And it's, I mean, there, those are probably out there.
Yeah. There but, are some bad ones, I'm sure.
But it can fast track your learning by 10X. But I've also, I have a lot of people that know I'm in real estate. So I get a lot of questions, friends, family, things like that. And there's always a handful that they'll have questions and then 6 months later have questions and then 6 months later have questions. And you never really see that. So I'm curious, like, as you, and each member's different. So if it's paid, it's kind of like, I would look at it as like, well, it's on you, you know, and even people asking me questions, but as you run the mastermind and you see newbies to experience, like, what are the big things you think stop people from taking action or, you know, getting involved or doing that first deal? Like, like, what are some of the things you think stop them as you, as you've dealt with people and that stuff?
I would probably say confidence. I mean, they just don't know what to start. So that's where it's like, mindset stuff is big, but you also have to give them some tactical stuff to do. So like, you know, we also tell them like, okay, you need to build this list of people in your network and call them. And like, this is how many people we need to call a month or a week or whatever. And like, if you do that, it may take 6 months. Maybe you'll get lucky. It'll take 2 weeks and you will get results.
Yeah.
And then we see the people that actually take action and do that. It's crazy. They are our best testimonials. They've joined the group and 3 months later, they've got two flips under their belt and things are going great for them.
Yep.
But then we have people in the group that we've told the same exact information to, maybe a little bit tweaked depending on their situation, and they're still in the same spot.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I tell people masterminds, whether it's mine or someone else's, you should join one. Obviously vet the operator.
Yeah.
But it's, there's no secret sauce to this. I tell everyone when I'm like selling them on my mastermind, like, it's kind of part of my sales pitch. Like, I don't really have any golden nugget. Like, I just have my experiences and my network's experiences.
Yep.
And like, I don't have every answer for you, but like, I have a very good real estate attorney. If I can't answer for you, I can connect you guys. So I just tell them like, this is just to speed up your process. Like you said, it's like going to the gym. Like,
yeah.
Just because you buy a gym membership does not mean you're going to be, you know, jacked just because you buy it. You still have to go there. The gym gives you the tools and equipment to get in shape, but you still have to put in the work. That's how I look at all masterminds, basically, too.
And it's amazing because you can get on YouTube and get, or the internet in general, but YouTube, university, and get any kind of information you need for anything. I mean, I could probably figure out how to do surgery on my own leg by YouTube. It's just getting, like you said, that confidence. And it is, it always fascinates me how, you know, people act like they want it, but it's like, deep down, do you want, like, it's that first, just putting the one foot in front of the other, taking that action, whether it's making the call or signing on the deal or just committing the money to the first deal, whatever it is. And then you see that, start to see a little bit of a snowball effect because it gives you that confidence. Because I remember my first deal, I wanted to, the minute I signed, I called my wife. I'm like, we should back out. I thought we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, the
like,
buyer's remorse.
Yeah, I had buyer's remorse. I'm like, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to fail. And now looking back, I mean, looking back 6 months after I did it, it was like I would have bought 10 of these deals. And now I'm like, I would have bought, I would try to find 100 of them. But that first deal, it's just, and I think it's in anything you do. It's not just real estate. It's, you know, stepping out of a job or doing something different. Like it's taking that first step and then you see you gain that confidence and you take another step of confidence and it just helps get that
and
going.
That's like, I don't have everything figured out either. Like even being in it for 6 years, like there's still days it's like, okay, I don't know what the next step is. Like I have to figure that out. Like what are my, I'm just a very logical black and white thinker. So it's like, what are my options and what's the best one? And we're just gonna roll with it. Because I, one of my qualities that I think is good is I don't take a long time to make decisions. Yeah. Like it's one of my options. What's the best one? Next step.
Do it.
And then, okay, do that again.
Fail forward fast.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of like makes you or breaks you, but I think it's a fast way to do it.
Yeah, because if not, you're stuck in inaction for so long. Yep. And I love that saying. I forget where I heard it, but fail forward fast. It's like, even if it's the wrong one, I can tweak.
Yep.
I at least know, okay, I eliminate that, I'm going to do this, and yep. I eliminate that. And as long as it's not, yeah, you're not making a catastrophic, life-changing decision.
That's what I tell my mastermind members. Like, your first deal is not going to make you rich, and it shouldn't make you poor.
Yep.
Like, if you're doing a single-family flip, and you make any money on it, that's a win. Because one, you get so much confidence, you get a feel for the process, and you probably learn a bunch.
Experience, like all that.
Experience, yep. And then I always tell them too, like, it's not that hard to flip one or two houses. It's hard to, the consistency. It's hard to build the system and business around it to make it consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a huge part. And you hit on something. You said, I don't have all the answers. I think humility is a huge piece, because there's a lot of people, whether they're taking that action or not, they come in and they think they know it all already, and like maybe they were successful in something else, so they come in, they're like, I can do this, and that's where you do lose money where you do fail. Because
I was talking to, it's funny you say that, because I was talking to someone that was wanting to join my group, and I was like, hey man, sounds like I can help you, you know, we had a little bit of conversation. He's like, I don't know if I really need help, like, you know, I'm wholesaling, like, I've got some hot leads going. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, well, if you need any help, you know, like, just reach out. And I'm just curious, like, how many wholesale deals have you done? And he's like, zero. I'm like, well, I think you probably need help then. Like, I'm not trying to be too pushy here, but like, let's, and he's a younger kid and whatever.
Yeah.
And I understand. I was there too. Like,
yeah.
When I was 18, I thought I was indestructible.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But so it's just giving them time and not being too pushy. Like, I don't want to have to sell myself so hard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to just show them the options and the value. And a lot of times doing a pullback, like I do this when I'm talking to sellers too. Like, if I come off desperate that I want to buy their property, a lot of times they reject.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I call it the pullback method. Like, as soon as I retract my offer and show no interest, it's kind of the way life works too.
Right.
Relationships, anything. So it's like they come back in sometimes. It's worked a good amount of time.
Yeah.
So
it's a great tactic.
Yeah. And we tried to get some mindset stuff in the group too. Like, I always tell the guys, like, and girls, like, if you have a couple things you know you need to do and like it's kind of scary, like you're nervous about it, those are the things you need to
do.
Like, it is not supposed to be easy. Like, if you're nervous about this phone call, it's because you got to make that phone call, whether it's a private lender, a seller, a bank, whatever it is, right? So it's like, if you can get comfortable taking that uncomfortable action, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, it's getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yep.
And when you do it, it's like, I don't think you ever start to like it, but you just get like, all right, I just got to make this call. And the best times are when you get surprised. You're like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Most of the time, it's not that bad. It's just human nature. We have this thing to make things worse or better than they are sometimes too.
So do you see in your, I know you said you got kind of a widespread average 5 to 10, which is, you know, for the average person, 5 to 10 rentals is huge. I mean, that's a game changer for somebody, especially if they had another job.
Yep.
And they're just kind of using that as retirement or extra income. For those that are in that spot, maybe a little have a little more growth, do you see, is it just they're walking with more confidence because they've been through that first one, they've done those few, and now they're just like, I can do more? And maybe, because there's levels to everything.
Yeah.
I feel like you do one or two, you feel like I'm the king. Yep. I flipped one, I made $5,000 or $20,000, whatever. And you do another one, maybe win. And then you think you're in, but then you're like, you meet the guy doing 100 or the guy that made $100,000 on one. And you're like, man, what am I? And so you hit the ceiling and then you have to, you basically start all over with your mindset. Mm-hmm. You're like, I suck, I'm nothing. And then you get to that next one, then you're like, I suck. And then you get to that next one.
That's the beautiful part of it. I love that.
Like, it is.
I one of my things, like, I'm just obsessed with, like, growth. Like, whether it's the gym, like, I just love that progressing. Like, and sometimes it's bad because it makes me want to start new things, because there's always plateaus to stuff, right? Like, so I started running again recently, and it's like, I love that growth of getting better, especially the beginning when you start some, because a lot of times it can be fast. You see the most change then, but, so yeah, the people that are more experienced, they know the basics, right? They know how to look for deals. They know, a lot of times we're just helping them scale and systematize, right? Mm-hmm. To like, so they have 50 rentals, but they've bought them over the last 10 years, right? Yeah. So now it's like, okay, how do we buy 50 rentals next year? How do we hire people? How do we fire people? How do we put SOPs in place? Like, how do we have a consistent marketing so we have a consistent thing going? You know, a lot of them don't know how to raise private money at scale. So like, that's our one of our big topics in the group.
Yeah.
So there's still value to be
talk about private money, because so many people, including myself, used to be scared to just, I mean, for people to talk about money. Like you said, you sold your portfolio when you were younger and made 80 grand. A lot of people would be, they wouldn't even say that on a podcast, or maybe to their friend, well, I made some money and I did this. Like, they might say, yeah, I made some mistakes, or, but the topic of money is so taboo in some circles, not so much with entrepreneurs, but then to talk about asking somebody else for money. And this is how I used to frame it to myself. I'd be like, I can't ask people for money. That's desperate. I don't want to, but you're not, like, you have to have that mindset switch of, I'm not asking for money. I want to help you make more money on your money.
Because exactly.
I learned real estate isn't, it's buildings, it's rentals, it's that stuff, but it's, I'm putting my money to work for me. And so I can help other people do that. And that's a huge thing. But is that kind of what you see with their roadblocks? Is it feels like, hey, can I borrow $5 to buy this rental?
It is, a lot of it's a mindset thing, but then once they get over the mindset and they can actually start asking, then it's okay, tactical. How do we actually frame that conversation? What's the paperwork look like?
Yeah.
What can you do legally? You know, SEC, like all that type of stuff. Then we get in the nuts and bolts, but most of the time it starts with a mindset of they're just afraid to ask. They don't know where to start type of thing. So we definitely have some tactical stuff and mindset stuff to help people raise money at scale and just consistently. And it's real estate is a numbers game all around, whether you're wholesaling, flipping, multifamily syndications, it's like baseball. Like if you're hitting 20-30%, you're killing it type of thing.
It's, yeah.
And so many people are afraid of being told no. And in this game, you get told no most of the time.
Yep. And that, I love that, because it is, it's all math. And that you don't realize how much you can help somebody. Like one of the private money lenders I've used is like, well, I have my money. They didn't even have it in a money market. A money market's going to at least get you 4 or 5%. And they're like, it's just, I have some money sitting. I'm like, I said, I don't care if you don't do anything with me,
but
put it in a money market, at least make something on it. Like,
and that's something I say with everyone too. And I mean that too. Like when you're truly trying to give people advice, like, you should mean it also when you say, like, I don't care if you put it with me.
Yeah, 100%.
And 90% of the time, that makes them want to put it with you, too. Because, like, you don't come off as predatory, aggressive, you know, that type of thing.
It's kind of like going back to Bigger Pockets, because you probably had the similar experience. It starts open this little Pandora's box, and you're like, I didn't even know this. You can do that. And you start hearing these stories of everybody else, getting that borrowed belief of, like, well, that guy did it. I could do it. And then you start doing it a little bit and you open this box and just keeps, and you're like, I want everybody to know this. Cause like you said, when we started, the world's huge, especially the real estate world. And for me, I've left my job. You're on your way to leaving your job. You know, I don't know what your plans are there, but, with what you're building, it won't be, it's a matter of time.
Right.
And so I want that for everybody. And it might not be leaving a job. It might not be, you know, scaling like I want to scale in real estate, but it's putting your money to work, just making smarter financial decisions and helping them better their lives for, you know, 5-10 years down the road. Yeah. And it's just this weird thing. And you can kind of be humble with it. Cause I don't, like you and I, if this guy doesn't want to invest with us, maybe they feel more comfortable with this guy. We don't care. We'll find somebody else or we'll figure out another way. It's not offensive. It doesn't, you know, it's just, but please go do something.
Right.
Like make yourself, you know, make a better decision.
Yeah, I've just gotten normal with my friend circle, and it's harder with family, but like just talking about money. Like it's, I definitely grew up in the normal middle class family where it wasn't super normal. Like I really had no idea what my parents made or like what was going on really in financial world, but just being around people like yourself and being in those groups, like it's just a normal thing to talk about.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when I first sold those houses, it may have been like, I thought I was bragging. I made 80,000, but now I feel like an idiot because I sold those houses in 2019 and they doubled in value.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not a bragging thing. It was just part of my journey. And it taught me just from that, taught me, and it got me great connections with the people I sold them to because those people now lend me money too.
Yeah.
So it's,
and what's crazy is that you look at it, like we might look back at now as like, oh, that was a mistake. Because I flipped, before I worked in W-2 for 13 years, I flipped some houses. Mm-hmm. I did excavating and then flipped some houses. And I didn't know, like I knew how to do the work and I knew like, hey, this flipping's a thing. It was right before the big crash in 08. So it was hot and I flipped, you know, a dozen, 10, 12 houses. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, what an idiot. If I know what I know now, they would have probably tripled in price almost.
Yeah, if they were in the right areas, especially, I mean.
Yeah, and we look at those things and we're like, ah, oh, that sucked, that was a mistake. But it wasn't. I made money on those, you know, not a ton, but it was a something I gained. I just didn't gain as much as I could because I didn't have all the experience and and everything else.
It's just part of your journey.
Yeah, exactly.
We all have different paths, but it's just part of it.
Yeah, and I love what you said. Going back a little bit is, and this, I'm curious to get your take with friends, family, your group. It's definitely an entrepreneurial thing. You said, I love growth. That's like my, like I want to like fist bump when I hear people say stuff like that. Because the same thing, whether it's in the gym, whether it's, you know, running a competition, like a little competition, learning something new, like, or obviously real estate, that's the vein we're in, but anything, I want to grow. I feel like if you're not growing, you're dying. It's kind of the old business adage, but it's like, do you see that in your friend group and your circles? Like everybody's kind of got the same, or you see different?
I would say there's different levels to it, right? Like there's definitely been times like my friends have pulled me along in certain areas of my life, maybe not business, but I've pulled them along in business or something else, right? So it's like, it's not always exactly that, especially if they're older friends, like through high school or whatever, but definitely like the people I have kept around me have been pulling me along in one area of my life or not, you know what I mean? I don't keep any people around that just like bring me down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and the people that are in my life, maybe they don't help me grow in business, but like, they don't bring me down in business though either. They're not like shaming me or, you know, anything like that. But they're also helping me in one or two other major areas of life.
Yep.
So it's kind of all across the board, you know, and some people you drive with better than others. But yeah, definitely like if you have those people that are really doubting you, putting you down for trying to get out of the normal, it has to go. I mean, thankfully I really haven't had a lot of those people that have like really made it hard. I've had, well, social media, there's tons of hate, like, but like in terms of in-person relationships, I haven't had a lot of that, but they got to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the ones that are helping you, pulling you in those times that, because even though we have that growth mindset, there's a lot of times you go through those seasons where you're like hot and heavy in the gym, things are killing it in business. And then you're like, you just get a little, for whatever reason, you know, I found, I had a little leg injury not that long ago. So I was out of the gym a little bit and just knocks you off that, that consistency.
Yeah.
And when you get that, it's like a little harder to get back going. And so when you have those friends and things like that, they're gold. Mm-hmm. Those people are gold. Just like the other ones are like the coal and the lump of coal when they're negative.
They can put you in the bad spot when things are good, even.
And it's amazing how friends like that, relationships like that can affect, you know, I mean, that can take you down a dark path. Like,
and it's a lot of life, like, comes down to luck and faith and chance sometimes, too. Like, and I don't mean that in a negative way, like, everyone's lucky type of thing, but, like, there's definitely just things that happen that fall my way sometimes, but like my rebuttal to that is like, You have to be taking the swing to get lucky.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You have to be in the game to get lucky.
Exactly.
So
It
goes both ways there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not in the game, you're not even going to get a chance to swing.
Correct.
If you're sitting behind the dugout, you're not even getting a chance. So you can criticize everybody else that's striking out. But, dude, you're not even going to get a crack at it because you're not even in the game. And that's what I tell people. I agree with you. So many opportunities come by just being in the game. Uh-huh. And like you said, swinging the bat.
Yep.
And people call it luck. I think it's just being consistent.
Agreed.
And being in it. Like, sure, there's times I'm like, I was just lucky on that. Like, just flat out. Uh-huh. But it is. It's having that faith that, well, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll get in there. I might strike out 3-4 times. But I'm gonna figure out how to hit that curveball at one point.
And just like I've changed my mindset to just be such more longer term. Like, especially around business. Like, in some areas of my life, I've kind of think shorter term and just like, because life could end at any time. So like, being grateful, stuff like that. I sometimes think shorter term for that reason. But in terms of business, I try to expand as long as possible because it's, if you don't have to sell at a loss, you can wait for the wind to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So,
It's so forgiving, real estate.
Yep.
Really, if you got time.
The real estate, especially, I mean, even like I do, like I said, I do crypto and stocks and stuff too. And there's been times where it's like, man, I could use this money, but like, can I wait? Can I figure out another way to just wait? Yeah. And then like, Bitcoin now is 3x, right? So it's like so many people sold a year ago. And Bitcoin's just a good example for this. But like, it's like, man, if all they could do is wait a year, totally different result.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of people have that short-term mindset of.
How do we make money
now? How do we make money now? And that's when you get into all the schemes and the junk. And also, what can you do for me now? Like, not just making money, but just instant gratification.
Yep.
I want to get on. I want to see likes. I want my Uber Eats to just show up here and not put any work into it.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just, it's really, you said it earlier, we were talking about YouTube or whatever. There's really nothing new. Like, it's just, it's all like, there's nothing new out there. There's no secret sauce. It's just consistency, hard work, long term, you know, keep base hits, not always swinging for home runs. And all of a sudden everybody thinks you're an overnight success with 60 rentals and flipping 20 houses. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I look at all where I came from.
Yep.
Like, they forget all the crap you went through, you know, the years prior.
Yeah. That's why I tell all my mastermind members too. Like, the first 3 years I was in real estate, I still was spending about the same amount of time I am now. It just, it was learning, networking, and like, it didn't yield a lot of results. But if I wouldn't have done that, I would not have gotten to the results of the last 3 years that was more massive results.
So
it's like, you have to think long-term, but it is hard to, and I get that, but yeah, I have some members that's like, well, I called people for 2 weeks and it's like, I didn't get a deal. It's like, buddy, you're just starting.
Yeah, you're about 50 weeks shy of where you need to be.
But that is why it's on the other side of that. That's why the people that succeed really do succeed, because so many people give up in that time.
Yes.
Right. Whether it's the beginning or the middle, whatever, but you have to get over that hump. And it's like, I tell people all the time, like, I feel like I'm just starting now.
Yeah.
Like, now I really know what I'm doing. Now it's like, how do we really blow this thing up?
I'm right there with you. I love that. Cause it's so many people. I've seen that meme where there's like three people digging for gold.
Yep.
And the one that like gets hard and they just quit. And the one's like right there, but they quit. And then another one keeps going and finally finds it.
Exactly it.
I agree with you. And every day it's like, it gets more fun. Cause you're like, the challenges are fun because you're like, okay, I've had challenges, I've overcame them, but you just see everything's an opportunity. And I think it goes back to that gratitude talk. I try and do that too, the daily gratitude. It keeps you in that positive space of, I mean, not that you don't get down or frustrated or, you know, pissed sometimes, but it just sets you in a better frame to look at, all right, what's the opportunity today? And like you, I have that logical mind of like, all right, here's a problem. Here's our three options. Mm-hmm. Let's pick the best one, get over that, and move on to the next thing. So that's a huge thing. It's hard because, you know, you being in a mastermind, there's been huge nuggets here for people, but wanting to help people, I love that, because I'm the same way. Even though I'm not running a mastermind or anything like that, I generally want to help people, mm-hmm. see people succeed in whatever they're doing. And I love that about what you guys are doing, you know, paid or unpaid. I feel like pay to play is the way to go. Like if I'm going to something free, I'm going to pay attention because I like learning and everything. But a lot of people, I was at a one day event, and after lunch, like half the people didn't even come back.
Right.
And there was great speakers there, great value. And you're like, how are these people? Like, they don't realize what it's free.
They would have stayed if they just paid.
But if they paid, they would have stayed. And who knows if it would have. If you pay, you pay attention. That's the term I was looking for.
And it always sounds biased coming from the person that sells education, but it is so true. I mean, it's most things in life, you get what you pay for, right? If you're going to eat the free sushi, it's probably not very good, right? Like, you're probably going to have some bad results from
marathon.
But if you go to the nice, you know, whatever, it may be a bad example, but most things in life, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And our mastermind group, we try to be above that and multiple X above what you pay for, right? We are trying to be the value play.
Yeah.
Right. So.
No, and you guys are solid. I met Danny, your partner, through Real Estate Meetup. Yep. Actually, the one we were at, I met somebody else, and then he introduced me to him. So just again, it's just that synergy, and what you guys have going on is really cool. I think it's a great space for somebody, especially local people looking to get involved. It's like, why not? This would be like, if you're stuck, if you're sitting at home on bigger pockets, wondering how to get the next step, that would be a great spot for it.
Yeah. Like I said, it just speeds up the process. You could go to YouTube and learn a lot of high level stuff. And I recommend doing that anyway. Just to learn terminology and different stuff, but it's different when you have someone there that you can go look at the same house with, right?
Yeah.
I can show you why this drywall needs fixed this way or whatever the example is, right?
Yeah.
That's a different type of mentorship than just YouTube, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yep, exactly. Well, as we wind down, are you a reader?
Honestly, no. I want to be. I have so many books.
Like,
I get in spurts where I do.
Yeah.
And once I get into a book, I'm in it, but it's hard for me to get started. It's one thing in my life, especially, I need to be more consistent about.
No, that's I find in the entrepreneur space, guys wired like we are, they're like, I go through seasons. I'll chew up, like, I'll read a ton, and then I won't read for a while. But it's not that I don't. Or there's the guys that are like ADHD, and they're just like, I don't read. Like, but they'll watch every article and, you know, every YouTube video, things like that. So I was just curious, going to have you plug a book or something, but.
I can. I have read books in the past that I like, but.
Is there any that stick out to you?
For mindset around money, the one thing that totally changed my life was Die with Zero is the name of the book, Die with Zero. Just not holding on and putting money on a pedestal as much and just realizing for what it is of a tool.
Yeah.
That's what made me buy my dream car, because it's like, life is short. Things could, like I said, that's where I think of shortness of, like, you know, things can happen, and like, you, what is the point of dying with a bunch of zeros in your bank account?
Dude.
When you could give it to charity now while you're alive, give it to your kids now while you're alive. So Die with Zero, very mindset, not real estate related, but just mindset around money and time and health. Really, that's what it is. It's the balance between money, time, and health.
Love it.
And then the other one for just kind of money is Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah,
just some
great book.
Basics about money management and different stuff. And
and like a nice story,
and it's a nice read. It's not, you don't have to spend 2 weeks. It's a shorter book, easy read.
Great book.
Those are two.
Yeah. Dude, that's huge for a younger guy. Cause I wish I would have been at 29. I wish I would have had been able to drop the knowledge you've been dropping, because it took me longer to get there. And that's one thing I've had to struggle with is like, man, if I could have done, but it's like, just like you said, I feel like I'm just getting started and I'm 42 this year. So, what was I going to say? Oh, the mindset around wealth, time, and health. I think so many people, again, going back to that instant gratification stuff, like, we don't think about that enough. People don't want to think about dying, and it sounds morbid. Like, I don't want to think about it either, but the reality is could walk out here tomorrow and or tonight. And
it could be anytime. It's crazy. It gives me chills thinking about it because it's, I haven't experienced a lot of death in my personal life, thankfully, but like I hear about it, I see it all the time. Like I was on 77 North driving at work and I witnessed, well, I didn't witness it happen, but I was passing the traffic scene where a semi truck driver passed away.
Yeah.
Like he was just doing his job that day. He didn't plan on dying that day, but now he is dead, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, I don't know who that is, but like, it just kind of sets, and if you look at it the right way, it's like, it can kind of set things into reality.
It's a healthy reality.
Like,
if you don't dwell on it, it becomes a healthy reality.
Yeah.
And another thing I'll add to that is, I don't think you're here yet, but having kids, like I got three now, and it's, you think about things a lot different.
Differently.
Like it's just another level and mindset shift when you have kids of like, okay, what do I need to prep to make sure they're taken care of to an extent? Cause I'm not, I think Bill Gates said he's not giving anything to his kids.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm there, but I'm also not like, well, here's the keys to everything and go wreck your life.
I think the most powerful thing you can give them is knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, you can just be the mentor for them. Like, that'd be, I would still love to have the opportunity to give them millions of dollars. But really what I want to give them is the opportunity to make their own.
Yeah.
Right? Cause maybe they
have
don't
that mindset.
Real estate.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it could be multiple too.
And I don't care. Like when I'm dead and gone, I've told my family, I don't care if you sell all this. Like I'm not married to like, I built this portfolio, keep it going.
Yeah.
Like it'll help you. but if you guys aren't interested, sell it all off. Like I agree with you. It's giving them that mindset and give them the tools and skills to go do whatever they want to do. And because it's the same set, whether you're, you know, doing some kind of other business or real estate business.
Right.
I mean, so.
For sure. And just balancing, like I really try and look at my life as balancing those three things.
Yeah.
You know, I throw in like a little spiritual as well, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I think that's another underestimated thing, the faith.
For sure.
And,
people
don't like to talk about it. But that's one thing I'm trying to talk about more in life is because I don't think anything's grounded me more than my faith and nothing's changed my life more than my faith.
Yeah.
And I think more people want to talk about it, but
it's just kind of
like the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, the business and money has helped me have those conversations because I've gotten used to uncomfortable conversations around money and business.
That's a great
point. So it's like faith is another uncomfortable conversation that happens, but most of the time, if you start it, it ends pretty good.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
And
even
if it does go bad, it's not as bad as you think it's going to go most of the time.
So, just like anything
else. And you could completely change someone's life.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I'm still definitely a work in progress in that. I'm by no means like everyone has their own issues, right? Everyone has their own
Your nickname's not Jesus.
On. Right. That's right. I do not come off that way.
I hope nobody would ever call me that anyway. So.
Yeah, but it's definitely a part of life that I think people need to take serious too.
Yeah,
but.
I agree with you, man. And it puts all that other stuff in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you that right order.
Yep,
of where
there should
it needs
be a typing
be.
Order of things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, dude, that's a great place to end it. Glad to have you here. Huge nuggets there. Great. I love hearing people's stories and hearing their journeys on where they're at, where they're going. Where can people find you and get in touch with you?
I'm very active on Facebook, just Kyle Novak, just a selfie of me and some black sunglasses. And so I'm very active on there. My mastermind website is www.roundtowngo.com. You can fill out some information there. We can have a phone call. DM me on any social media. And I just love having a conversation with people, seeing where they're at. You know, everyone's in different places, and see if it makes sense. See if it's a win-win for us to work together one way or another.
Yeah, so. Love it, man. Love it. Love seeing what you're doing. Hope it continues to grow. I know we're in the same circle, so we'll get to experience it with you. But appreciate you having on. Great conversation.
Thank you.